So you guys took a hold of the reins last week. What was it like? Tell me about your experience.
Easy, Liam. Pretty easy, really.
Oh, I think we killed it, probably.
Do you know what? I've had that many messages on Twitter saying, get rid of Robert and just make it with the Robbo and Leon show.
Well, to be honest with you, I looked on the ratings and the ratings were through the roof.
They just keep pumping, didn't they?
It's the highest I've ever been since Paul Stein, I reckon I've heard. So it's
energy's dripping away from me.
That's the call.
Actually, Leon, every time you'd come back into in from a break or leaving the break, you'd say, and this is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, or welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. Whenever Robbo did it, it was, this is the Luke Robinson Show. There's
so
a banner.
So
life after rugby, eh? But look at him, Leon. You remember when we first started this journey, us three together, and Robbo was coming in and like he had just retired, he was limping in, but he had his cool tight little jeans on and his t-shirt that he got from the boys department in Gap.
Kids department. But to be honest with you, I prefer Robbo when his dad comes. His dad was good banter. Oh. His dad has got more rugby league knowledge than League Express. Any Robbo?
Well, actually, when we'd ask Robbo a question, his dad would lean forward and whisper the answer in his ear. And then Robbo would come out like a knowledgeable rugby league.
To be fair, he reads everything. I'll be honest, I'm not an avid reader of, you know, I make my own judgment on rugby. not somebody who's been to university for a few years and decides how good I am as a player and give me a little mark out of
10.
Who's never played a game. So I tend to listen to my dad's in the know about everything and gives me little tips. He's even worse when we're on the, on the Super League show, do you know, for BBC. And he's giving me a running commentary of who's played and who's won, just so I know what's going on.
As you're driving towards the studio.
As I'm driving towards the studio.
So what about this team and how did they do this weekend? That's good to have that sort of network. And we were talking about it earlier in Leon's network. We were talking about having the right friends that you actually can call upon at the right time. And Leon's got Sparkies, he's got Plasterers, his dad's his father-in-law's a plumber, his mate's a PT, as you can tell. He's just ripped. Leon just like a mad...
animal.
Mad athlete.
Like a pepperoni stick.
And
so weird.
Actually, if you ever look, Leon does put this out. There's a picture of Leon sprinting down the field and he goes into a tight grimace and his mouth's all pulled back and it looks like the pepperoni. You know that mad maniac pepperoni
good
stick?
Good looking, though, isn't it?
Where was I going with all of this? What were we talking about?
Just networking.
Oh, yeah, but that's it. Leon, you got to share that on Twitter. Put it on Twitter. Jakey, put that on Twitter. Send it to
Just be careful
to
that
Pulse
phone.
One.
There's a lot of information on that phone.
Yeah,
be careful.
You may not ever be the same person again, Jakey. So what I'm saying, though, we were talking about, that's one of the advantages of working in rugby league is because, well, Robert, you got your own thoughts on this as opposed to rugby union.
Yeah, listen, I'm with Leon. All my friends, plasterers, plumbers, electricians, there isn't many that
trade boys.
Trade boys, really. There isn't many that are in charge of the news of the world. You know, the Daily Express, things like where people that eat, you know.
Not real world problems, eh?
Yeah, you know what I mean? People that play rugby and generally go to a little bit more of a privileged school and they go on to sort of. And that's my argument with
rugby. And usually they're southerners.
Yeah, let's put that.
And you know what? Yeah, the funny thing about that is that they probably own the plumbing companies, though.
They do.
Yeah, but they're not there. You know, at the end of the phone, when you need someone, look, the pipes just burst. I need you to come hook me up. They come around, don't they?
Yeah, it's all right.
That's what's fun about it.
What about you, Robert? I've heard that you've been fixing your own kitchen.
Oh, mate, I've been killing it this week.
Crazy, man. Crazy. I thought you were tired. You can't say, you can't play the, oh, I'm tired, I'm taking 2 weeks off, I'm looking after baby. Then one misses his breastfeeding, so he's sleeping all night. Two, you're up, you've got enough energy to be in a blooming IKEA kitchen all day.
So
come on.
I'd
come
be mad
on.
If I were Bradford fan. He's taking 2 weeks paternity to make a new kitchen.
And sleep all night.
Oh, nice.
He's sleeping better now than he does usually.
Because I'm tired from putting the kitchen in.
Do you still watch your Friends episodes every night before you go to sleep?
No, actually, it's Entourage now.
All right, okay. So it's changed.
Well, I do every now and again go back to Friends just to make me... You know when you need that sort of dumb sort of television stuff just to stop your brain from working?
No, I can't stand
I've
it.
I've got one of those overactive brain that just keeps moving and keeps me awake at night. So I watch some
that
sort
little
of
that. Monkey with tambourines.
Oh, yeah.
Never stops,
does
They're it?
Telling me ideas, whispering ideas in my head. And if you did this, this would happen. If you did that, that would happen. That'd be a fantastic idea. And it just keeps sparking. So I've got to listen to that crazy, boring stuff before I can...
Switch off,
basically. Yeah, that's what I need to do. But it's been good, though. It's been good. The reason why I've had to do that, I'm not actually put in a kitchen. The kitchen units are 60 mil deep and 220 mil high, 4 meters long of it, with a window in the middle as well for the TV, but it's for storage space. New child comes along, new nursery has it. The nursery was my storage place. Obviously, that's now baby, so...
Well, that's where we differ, obviously.
Needs must.
My wife does fixes plugs, fixes lights.
And you guys are only half men. And Leon can't even change a tyre.
Well, I play with kids while she does all that. So it's kind of roles reversed.
Or either half men or modern men. What are you taking?
I just can't do anything other than sport. And I'm slowly, that's dwindling as well.
Oh. that's got a limitation on it. All right, okay. It's time for our first break. We haven't spoken any rugby at all so far. This is what happened when Jackie comes on and she's producing the show. You see, I think she's cut us short. She's gone for extra long adverts today. All right, when we come back, we'll be talking about good Dr. Marwan Kukash. We'll also be finding out about Huddersfield Giants' new head coach, straight from the horse's mouth, Luke Robinson himself. So stay with us here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Pulse One Travel.
For a great deal more on motability, remember Bristol Street Motors Nissan, Bradford and Halifax.
The latter part of the rush hour has been really busy on the M62, both east and westbound on similar stretch of road. There was an earlier accident, multi-vehicles between 26 Chain Bar and 27 Gildersham. Congestion there, even though all lanes are back open, is all the way back to 28. Travel time is 45 minutes, average speed 20 miles an hour. Really busy there. Also westbound, a lot of people slowing down to have a look on the other side of the road. And there was an earlier accident that's now clear between 27 Gildersham and 26 Chain Bar. As a result of all this, the M606 very busy and snarled up southbound, slow going around Rooley Lane on towards Staygate roundabout. Got delays on Great George Street in Leeds as well. It's going to be closed for the next couple of days. Burst water main there between Carverley Street and Oxford Place. Sorby Bridge, War Street steady both ways. Delays in Bradford on Manchester Road as well. It's really busy on Tong Street, and also Kirkstall Road in Leeds is looking particularly busy this evening too. And you've got those delays and cancellations on the trains because of a signalling problem at York. There's delays between Leeds and York. Services diverted via Doncaster, and no service between Leeds and Wakefield Kirkgate due to that signalling problem. Tickets are being accepted on TransPennine Express and also Vern Trains East Coast as well. And if you want the latest traffic news at any time, download our app from the App Store.
It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, talking nothing but rugby league for the rest of the hour. And this evening, over the next couple of days, we're giving away a family pass to the Bulls versus Oldham match this Sunday afternoon up at the Providence Stadium. So to win, just go on the website at pulse1.co.uk and hit the win tab. It's actually, Ewan had pre-prepared it. It's all ready to go, so just get your name in. Before we go any further, boys, actually, I just want to bring up the third State of Origin match, which was played this morning. Just looking at some of the footage. We're just posting it. Are we putting it on Pulse One and Sport?
Jake is doing it, yeah.
Jakey's all over that. He's just reposting the link. You can see the Blues actually come from behind. The Maroons had already sealed up the series win with two over the first two matches. But the third game, there was everything to play for. But there's some absolutely brilliant footage after Jennings scores the final and try and wins the game for the Blues in this morning's third match and decider. As they're all celebrating, the big number 8 for New South Wales, he tries to jump into the huddle, give a big high five, ends up body splashing the ground. And, we spend a lot of time when you play the game, when you do something silly on the field, and you know that your coaching staff are going to catch it and you're going to replay it and replay it time and time again in the video sessions. Have you guys ever...
I think it's more worse when like you get a little bit carried away with yourself and you do it, but you know it's going to come up on a video, like maybe like, you know, try celebration or, you know, I'm like one of them, get totally carried away in the moment. And then the next day, you're thinking, oh no, they're going to show it. You're going to stop it in video. And then you're carrying on like a Derek on video. I cringe at that, mate, mainly.
We had a thing, I think it was 2006, we had a really good season at Salford. And I don't know what it was, but everyone were kissing each other after the track. And somebody, I don't know who had done this, put it in slow motion with love music behind. And just kept showing lads, but it were full on, I'll be honest, it wasn't just a peck on the cheek, it were full on lips. I'm sure someone put a bit of tongue in once on that.
Yeah, come and talk us through that. Were you a part of this?
I think you just get swept up in it. Monkey see, monkey do, next minute I was just so locking lips. With Aaron Mule, I'm sure he slid a bit of tongue.
Oh, and he's
one
of the ugly ones as well.
Yeah, big eye. Eyebrows.
You know what I mean? If you're going to snog someone, do one of the fit guys.
It's like one of those moments, isn't it, when you score a try. Sometimes you're that happy. You're that relieved. I remember we scored one and Stevie Michaels comes up to us and he went, Leon, I love you. I went, I love you too. It's serious. We're being serious. I love you, Leon. I love you
the
too.
The emotion is so high. Yeah. Your adrenaline's coursing. You're pumping. There's no one else in the world, just you and him.
I couldn't help it. But it's funny.
Don't worry about the 10,000 people screaming and shouting around you. In that moment, it's just the two of you.
It's that awkward drive home when you and Michaels are car together all thinking,
Do you really mean it? I was just going to score a try.
Oh, my head's gone. Oh, this is what I missed last week. Oh, jeepers, guys. Okay.
We're going to talk to Marl then, yeah?
Nah. We kind of did touch on rugby league there a little bit. Anyway, the Maroons won that series. Not even worry about the Blues one.
Let's not talk about them.
Let's talk real rugby league. I did one. I did it a few years ago. Scored a try, jumped up. Paris was in the Super League?
1996.
When I say a few years ago, 20 years ago.
1996. The very first season of Super League.
I think Robbo was about eight. I score a try and I jump up. I don't know, I'd seen it, I think, on American Basketball where they do like a slow-mo, like Bruce Lee stance, you know, with your hands start going like that. But we were like 20 points down.
You can't do that.
So I jump up and I get halfway through this kung fu pose, realize, you know what, mate, you can't celebrate this, you're chasing the game here. And I pull out of it, which made it worse.
Yeah. My favorite ever celebration ever, what I've ever seen, is my mate Lee Gilmore. So we were in Sydney, and it was the week that I'd been getting loads of stick. I'd said what I'd said about the Australians, Bondi, blah, blah, blah. And we were sick of them. Gillow, my roommate, we were absolutely sick to back teeth about Australia, giving us grief about Pommy this, Pommy that. They give us no chance to win the game. We're going to get drubbed. They're going to do this. And the media are ruthless over there.
Yeah.
So we played the game. I've gone across. I've done like a corners with Gilly. We've both gone out. I've dropped Gilly back on. I didn't really do no. It was Gilly's play. Gilly comes back against the grain, splits searing through two players as fast as he can. He dives under the post to score a try. And he says, as he stood up, he's about to get up and give both fingers to the crowd. And then he realised what we were doing. He went, oh! And pulled out of it. But there's a photo of him on Instagram and he's got both his fists up like that and both his fingers just about to raise. And you just remember last time, what am I doing? Pulled his fingers back in.
Again, in the moment, adrenaline.
I so wish he would have done it because it would have caused so much controversy.
Oh, you just imagine that. That would have smashed Bondi Beach out of the park.
I need that in the book, actually. That's going in the book.
Oh, it's got to go in the book. I want to see that photo as well.
I've got it here. I'll show you here in a minute.
I'll put it on social media.
I'll do it now.
Send it to Jakey. Jakey, get it up there. Let's have a look at it.
It's Gilly's profile picture, actually.
On
Twitter.
You've just told the whole world really what he's thinking there.
Yeah, I'm going to tell him in the book because it's a good story.
Eat it, Australian media. All right. Okay, it's been a couple of weeks, but the good Dr. Marwan Kukrash, we actually haven't spoken about him. You guys talked about him last week, but we had a bit of a dry period, didn't we? We actually had nothing to talk about. He's back with a vengeance. He commented he would be considering his rugby league future following his appeal against Salford's 6-point deduction and the fine being upheld by the independent panel. So it went to tribunal, and it was the actual punishment was upheld. What do you think from a player's perspective? Let's put the politics out of it. But what do you think from a player's perspective? And I'm talking about Salford as a group of players. If your chairman comes out and he states publicly, I'm considering my future.
I think it definitely.
What sort of pressure would it put on you as a player?
Oh, I think it definitely disrupt the camp a little bit. You know, obviously, I'm not sure. The fact that they haven't got a big enough audience, have they, to just basically sustain Salford without him. So as a player, it obviously caused a little bit of, you know, distress, because you think to yourself, am I going to be next year? And if my kid's going to be in the same school and all that jazz. I don't think it's good from a player's perspective. But at the same time, I personally like the fact that he's challenging rugby league. I'm not sure he goes about it in the right manner. But I like the fact that, you know, we're actually making questions.
Okay,
of the
there poses another question. What is the right manner?
Yeah, I just, you know, him coming out and just saying, I apologise if I haven't slated everyone from the RFL, I will get round to you. Do you know what I mean?
It's antagonistic.
Do you know what I mean? It's just a bit like, an argument with your mate down on, you know, the pub. There's right ways of going about it. And I think it's good that he's open.
But if he continues on with the rhetoric, you know, it's like anything. The more you hear it, the more you start to understand it and believe it, and you start looking. Is that going to put that sort of pressure that he's sort of calling for?
I'm not too sure. Let's just put it this way. Rugby league needs Marwan Kukash. The game is not financially stable enough, and we've got not got enough money people within the game to go without Marwan. We need him. He's controversial. He's outspoken, but he challenges the RFL, and we need him to keep doing so. We speak about him on the show at least once a week. But, you know, like Larobo was saying, Salford as a club have not got enough fans through the gate every week to sustain themselves. They need somebody who's a bit of a cash cow like Marwan is. And we need him in the game, so...
I mean, he's probably come out and saying they're moving away from the Willows, the traditional hard land where there was a lot of walk-up, a lot of traditional supporters actually used to walk to the grounds. Robbo, you spent time there. I spent time at the Willows as well. When you were travelling there as an away fan... It was a horrible, not only away fan as an away player, yeah. It was a
hostile.
Horrible place to play in.
Well, the changing rooms were disgraceful, weren't they?
Yeah.
Because you couldn't even get changed because you couldn't stand up straight because the stadium was like on your head. But the actual playing service and the crowd on top of you were a good atmosphere.
I enjoyed it.
It was unique. It was a good atmosphere, but they've lost a lot of that.
It was intimidating, though.
My wife used to be right smack in the middle of them singing songs about, I don't know, you're going home in a body bag and all sorts of stuff. I remember just looking once in
my love your wife.
My missus just in the middle of the ball singing
your
this
wife,
song.
She does all, she does all the work around the house, all the heavy liftings, all the electrical work, all the... And she's mad enough to get in amongst the Salford core supporters as well.
Don't let her fool you. We've got a cleaner now. she's lost the plot.
That's not you, is it?
Yeah. No, that's the problem, she says. I am the problem. That's why we got one.
That's okay, Rob. I got a photo this at 8:30 this morning with my clothes all over the place saying you're taking the mick. Why couldn't you just put these in the washer?
The same energy, though, it took to take the photo. Probably just going to pick them up.
I'm going training to earn the money to pay mortgage, love.
that never goes down well.
No, I didn't say that though. I didn't say that. That's what I thought.
I mean, they do have a point. When you're taking your clothes off, why don't they just go straight into the wash?
Robbie, I feel like I'm at home. Give me a break. Don't need it.
But you know, I'm talking just quickly about Salford again. They never did really recover from the points deduction in April. They started the season on fire, really grouped together as a team, but they've not really been able to gain that traction since they got deducted the points in April, and things started becoming a little bit unstuck.
I think it's unstable in for you. When you don't know your future, you don't know whether you're going to be in or out, and it's yet to be decided. I think it's been quite unstable in for them as a club. I think at the start of the season, they were playing fantastic rugby. I think if they were in the top eights, they'd be not challenging, but they'd be a team that's tough to beat. They are tough to beat when they're on the day. But I think the whole rigmarole with the points deduction, the salary breach, with Marwan, you know, being quite outspoken about the RFL, I think it's quite unstable in for the club, the players. And I think you've seen that, and the performances have been very up and down.
Well, I don't think we've actually seen the last of this episode and exactly what's going on. And you'll have to stay with us, ladies and gentlemen, and find out how that comes to a head if you're not reading the trade rags. All right, we're going to take another break now. After we come back, we're still to hear from Robbo about how the new head coach is fitting in. All that and more. So stay with us here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Across West Yorkshire, on FM, online, mobile and DAB, this is Pulse 1 Headline News.
6.30, I'm Ruth Etherington. Theresa May has been named as the new Prime Minister by the Queen. It followed David Cameron meeting with Her Majesty to offer his resignation. Before he did so, he paid an emotional tribute to his family as he made his final speech as Prime Minister.
I want to thank my children, Nancy, Elwin and Florence, for whom Downing Street has been a lovely home over these last 6 years. And above all, I want to thank Samantha, the love of my life. You have kept me vaguely sane.
Elsewhere, a motorcyclist in a critical condition in hospital after a serious crash yesterday. The 58-year-old was in collision with a car on the A650 in Bingley. Fellow celebrities have backed Jennifer Aniston after she published a blog saying she's fed up. The actress, who's been the subject of pregnancy rumours recently, says the objectification and scrutiny women are put through is absurd and disturbing.
Pulse 1 Sport.
Gary Balance will make a return for England's cricketers as they take on Pakistan in the first test at Lord's tomorrow. The Yorkshire batsman last played for his country in last summer's Ashes. Sunderland boss Sam Allardyce is believed to have had an informal interview to be the next England manager, but the Premier League club aren't happy about it, calling the situation extremely damaging. And the men's and women's singles champions at next month's US Open tennis will receive record prize money. They'll each earn just over £2.6 million. For the latest on those stories and more, go to pulse1.co.uk.
Big names and big stories from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Kia ora, Robbie Hunter-Paul, and I'm with the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, and the General, Luke Robinson, and we're giving away a family pass to the Bulls versus Oldham Mats this Sunday afternoon up at the Providence Stadium, 3 p.m. kickoff. But you want to get there earlier because you can buy a few beers and keep me in a job. To win, just go on the website at pulse1.co.uk and hit the win tab, and there's your opportunity to get those tickets now. Okay, so family pass, which means two adults and up to four kids. All right, Robbo, you guys had the Giants had a close loss against Hull KR after spanking Leon's boys the week before, who were sitting pretty at the top of the table. You guys are down in the basement with Hull KR. You've actually given Hull KR a bit of a lifeline, an opportunity to get out of those bottom fours, depending upon how Wakey and Widnes play over the next few weeks. How did that game go? And 1 point loss.
Yeah, we've had about, I think that's been about it's the fifth game that we've lost by a point or 2 points, and it's become a real habit for us this year. We just don't seem to be able to see games out, and it's, you know, I think we're 19 points to 6 up. You know, we're not long remaining in the game. Like, you know what it is, we're the better side, we're comfortable, and then all of a sudden, like you say, losing just become a bit of a habit for us at the moment. We don't seem to be able to get out of that losing habit, and more than anything else, although we beat Hull the week before, we've never won two games back-to-back, and I think that's probably what's... But what's hit home a little bit of late, the fact that we can't put back-to-back victories together.
What was it? Your poor performance or Hull's good performance? KR's good performance.
Anybody that's played at Hull, whether you play at FC or Hull KR, when them fans get behind them, especially at Hull KR's ground, it's, you know, the atmosphere of the game, you know, in that, you know, that's, I can't remember the stands called, but then when they start getting a roll on, you feel like sometimes you're in a bit of a washing machine, and they're literally calling forward every single play. They're getting, you know, the...
It is, though, Leon.
It's intimidating, man.
Yeah, it is an intimidating place to play at, isn't it?
When I played there for Saints, I think we went 3 years there without winning a game there. That's how tough it was. That place was like number one, probably toughest place to go.
And the supporters, and
they weren't the best team. No matter where they're playing in the league, they're very, very hard to beat at home. Hostile.
And so this weekend sees your All City Derby.
Yeah, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, yeah. It's a Thursday night game, the Sky game.
Mm-hmm. Pressure.
Obviously, you guys have lost the last two games against Huddersfield and then against Leeds Rhino last week. Yep. So, obviously, you'll be wanting to turn it around this week.
Yeah, well it's not panic stations. Yeah. I mean, come on, at the end of the day, if you believe in yourselves and you're a group of players that you believe in what you're doing, a couple of losses, you shouldn't get too distracted by it. Season's about ups and downs, as you know, coming from winning, you know, championship teams, is ebbs and flows of the season. You get injuries, you get momentum, you get confidence. We've been a little bit lucky, not lucky, but we've been on the right end of a lot of close results. Mm-hmm. You know, Rob was talking about losing by 1 point. Last year, we were losing narrowly by 2 points, mm-hmm. probably in about 9 or 10 games.
And this year, you've been able to turn those fortunes around.
We've turned them around, and we've won a lot of games by two points, 4 points. And
have you been doing the opposite of what Rob?
Exact opposite.
And learn how to win.
We've learned how to win. We've had no injuries all season, so we've had a full
touch wood.
We've had a full squad to pick from all season, And that's the reason why we've been sat at the top of the table. When we've lost, it's not been from poor performance. Other than Huddersfield, where they turned us over and we didn't play very well. We played well against Leeds, very well. We just got beaten by, you know, a little bit of freaky kick players, Watkins stepping inside and scoring. Just, you know, it was a good game. So, you can't get too disheartened by the performance because we performed well.
Do you know them really sort of tight games as well? When you just manage to win games, when you just manage to win them tight games, you start your confidence building. You feel you're a better side than what you actually are. And on the flip side of it, where we are at the moment, when we're just losing them couple of point games, your confidence starts to deteriorate away, and you actually think you're a worse side than what you are. Do you know, the margin's minimal, but obviously it makes a massive difference to them. Them tight games are in 2008. I think we lost 5 games by 2 points all left. Sharpie got sacked. We came 10th. But then the year after, we won 5 points by 2 or less. We got to a Challenge Cup final. We came 3rd. And we were 1 game off getting to the grand final. And that's sport and that's rugby league. You know, the finer margins that make or break.
The millimetres.
But I think, in my opinion, coming from 18 years of playing, when you play in a winning culture and a winning team that are used to winning trophies, those one or two losses never distract you from your beliefs as a squad. Doesn't matter what the paper's saying, doesn't matter what the fans are saying, doesn't matter what's coming from any outside influences. You, as a playing group, know what your goal is and you'll believe within yourselves.
Yeah, I can understand that. I remember when I went to Huddersfield myself and we started off the season against, and I think we went 8 games without getting a win. But we were only losing the game by the smallest margin. We had the second best defense next to Leon's St. Helens. Second best defense. But we had spent all offseason working on our defense. So we hadn't quite got our offense up to our attack, up to speed. But as soon as we did click, and it was in a Challenge Cup game, we clicked then we went on a 10-game run where we just absolutely blew all the teams off the park. But like you said, Leon, then you have that blip where you have that great rise, but then you have that flip, and it's always going to come down. I remember everyone at the time in the team, they started panicking. And I was, obviously, the experience that you're talking about, coming from Bradford, you know you're not going to stay at that high performance ratio all the time. You know you're not going to win every single game. And the games that we were losing were against the St. Helens, against the Leeds, and we'd only lost a couple of them, but everyone started panicking. And I was saying, look, calm down. We're going to have a dip. It's all right. We build again. Let's go again. We just go again. But just don't let it affect the way you're performing.
I remember the first 8 games because after we played you and beat you at Salford, and Kev Brown whispered in my ear on the way off, no job's going at Salford, is it, Robbo? And then we went on a losing streak and actually got relegated. And I said the same to him. At the end of the season, no job's going, is it, Kev?
I think it's a really good, relevant point here. And I've tried to think about this my whole career after probably about playing rugby for 2 or 3 years. When you first start playing rugby, you read papers, you listen to Sky Sports News, you listen to Eddie and Steve, or you listen, and you can go through it all. And if you listen to what everybody's got to say, when you win, you think that you play brilliant. You're reading, he's got 9 out of 10 this week, played brilliant. And if you listen to what everybody's got to say, you end up so inconsistent with your emotions and your thoughts and your beliefs that you don't really know where you're going. So what I had to do, and I think a lot of teams to do, is you just concentrate on yourselves, concentrate what you believe in, what your coaching staff are saying, what you as a team are saying, and keep all other outside influence out of it, because then you're on a steady track. If you lose, it's okay, boys. We've got it next week. We stick together. We're going right where. If you win, don't get too excited. We've got another tough game next week. And try and stay on that happy medium in between, because it's too tough to go from up to below. Do you get what I mean?
Every team has its rises. Every team has its troughs. But you want to make those as small as possible. The margins between those. But absolutely brilliant words, Leon. I think that deserves a round of applause. Kids at home listening, there's a master's. That's information. That's coming from a guy that's got Super League trophies, international caps, Challenge Cups, World Clubs, you name it. He's got it all. Look at him sitting there. Chest is pumped out. He's going to walk out of here like he's 10 men. Absolutely brilliant.
I've gone way away from
where we were. I was trying to lead with this, so I'm going to pull it right back. Robbo, obviously on the back of a loss, new head coach comes in, Rick Stone. I've got to start off by saying this. Is that not the greatest name, coaching name on the planet, Rick Stone? Doesn't he sound like a wrestler from the 1980s?
Oh, you took the words out of my mouth. We've all been talking about it all day. Somebody else tossed up that he's a an American wrestler, someone else, and it sounds like an 80s detective. You know, Rick Stone's on the case.
Yeah, had a movie. Rick Stone.
Watch out, Rick Stone's coming for you.
That's what he sounds like, though, doesn't he? It's nuts.
From the 1970s. And to be fair, one of those cop dramas.
We did have a little debate about who's got the greatest name in rugby league, and Alvarez. My favourite still is Steel
Wretchless. Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
You know
it.
Oh, yeah.
That name really is rock and roll.
What is mum and dad thinking? It was, as he came out, he's hard as nails.
He was pretty tough as well, Steel.
He was a decent player.
He was.
His mum and dad must just know.
Well, I remember when I was sitting at home watching an international test, New Zealand versus Australia, and I was down at the stoop. And it was one of Fui's, Moi Moi's first test. And he runs onto the ball. And there's big Fui Fui Moi Moi. And my wife sitting next to me started cracking up laughing. That's not a real name. That's not a real name. You can't say that. Down Under, that's a real name.
It was so good I named him twice.
They named him twice. That's it. Fui Fui Moi Moi. Now, that's a rock and roll name as well. But Robbo, fill us in. How's the new HC? His first day today, as I understand. How's he fitting in?
Yeah, it's been kind of quite surreal for him, really. Obviously, it's all happened pretty quick. He got off the plane today, and straight as soon as he got off the plane, he drove to the training ground and got there for 11 o'clock. He'd not been in the country more than an hour, and he was literally here. So, yeah, it's been a little bit of a whirlwind. It's quite a lot for the lads to take in, and probably him himself. You can't change everything all at once, you know.
No.
You've got to kind of, you know, from a coach's perspective, which I am now, you've got to drip feed information. If you just try and change everything, it'll fall flat on its face. So he's got to come in and implement his philosophies on the way he wants us to play. And, you know, he came in originally and we just had a little bit of a players' meeting. He wanted to know what the players thought had gone wrong. So we had a bit of a blank canvas. What do you think the last regime did wrong? What do you think we need to improve on? And get a bit of a gist of how the lads are feeling and what they're thinking.
Now, quickly, I've been told, I understand that man management is one of his key strengths, getting people to buy in. And I think with the short time left in the season, that's probably what you know, because the talent's there.
Yeah, without a doubt. Everyone I've spoke to, really, you know, obviously we don't know much about him. But I spoke to boys within the game, a few Salford lads, a few lads from different clubs. They all seem to think that he's just a great bloke. And what they seem to think is that you will play for him. You know, because you like him as a bloke, you trust him to do the right thing by you and be honest that he's going to get you playing as a team. And that's what we need this morning time. Like you said, we've got decent players within the squad. We're just not putting it together as a group.
All right. Okay. Well, best of luck to Rick Stone. Great name. I've got to say, one of the best names in rugby league. We're going to take a break now. After the break, we'll be back. We'll be looking at some of the top games of the upcoming weekend. And we'll also be discussing Jamie Peacock joining England as team manager. All that and more after the break.
Whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. We're continuing on with the hottest topics in the sport, and we'll also be taking a look at the hottest games of the round, including Leon's big All-City Derby, Holkau versus Hull FC, which is going to take place tomorrow night. Okay, we're also giving away for the next couple of days. I think we'll take it. It'll come off air, or you won't be able to win the prize by lunchtime Friday. So you've got basically a day and a half to get your votes in. So we're giving away a family pass to the Bulls versus Oldham match this Sunday afternoon up at the Providence Stadium. To win, all you need to do, very simple, just go on www.pulse1.co.uk and hit the win tab and just leave your details in there, and we'll pick a winner at random. Okay, boys. One of our mates, Jamie Peacock, he joins England as team manager. He'll be responsible for team planning and logistics, day-to-day management of tournament program, management with relationship management with all the key stakeholders. What do you reckon? Good appointment?
Good, yeah. Well, I think I was just speaking off air a minute ago. JP has now become like a little bit like the godfather of rugby league, hasn't he? He's just got his fingers in so many pies.
It's long like, fingers.
If you know what to do, just ring JP. You know, you're not sure your team's not going well, just bring Peacock in. He's ringing Peacock, so he's like taking over the whole of rugby league. And, no, I'm only joking. It's good. It's good for the game. I know knowing JP for a long, long time, coming through Bradford at the same time as him. He's always been very, very passionate about England and the national team and doing the best that he can and getting as a bigger profile and a healthier team as possible. So I know he's massively passionate about the England setup, so it can only be good for the team and for the country.
Yeah, and talking about him doing everything, he's doing my testimonial do, so he's also doing that. I'm leaving the big dog till my last one. When everyone's fed up of paying, I'm leaving Jamie Peacock.
The Don.
Don. Yeah, the Don. I'm bringing the Don in.
Let's get rid of the MBE and we'll just replace that with Jamie Peacock, the Don.
Next time I see him, I'm just going to go up to him and kiss his hand. I'll be like, put your hand out to me, Peacock. I'll kiss your hand.
Yes. So your testimonial dinner, be able to go ask JP for one gift or something like that, you know, just yeah. like on The Godfather.
Just
and say,
like,
on the wedding of my daughter, you know, on the wedding day of my daughter, you can have... You know, one gift from The Godfather.
Well, I'm bringing a lot. Adrian Moore's going to be there as well, so I think it's.
Two Dons.
Two Dons.
There's two Dons.
There's two Dons.
A Lancashire Don and a Yorkshire Don. You've got the north of England covered.
I've actually spoke to JP about the coaching, like, and going into the business, as you have, Robbie. You know, you've gone to the backroom
administrator.
Staff. Administrator, yeah, should we say. And, you know, it's something I've flirted with the idea of, because part of me sometimes feels like, you know, you're the master of your own destiny, aren't you, really, when you're above. You know, them coaches, no matter how good you are, you're just waiting to be... A coach was...
Shelf life.
Got a shelf life. Whoever's employed is just a coach waiting to be sacked. I think John Key has got a famous quote, something along them lines. And it's true, isn't it?
Two coaches. One that's just been sacked and one that's waiting to be sacked.
That's it. That's his famous quote. And that is... And to be fair, that is the way that the coaching, you know, that goes. And I think JP's kind of seen that and said that, you know, I might be able to have more influence within rugby league if I take... you know, I'm not on the front line. I'm in the office.
But if you don't know JP and you can only see him for how he's played the game and maybe for a little bit of his TV work, you don't realise that the guy is super, super intelligent as well. So like, he's not like a normal guy. He's not like me or us.
I think I'm sure he's got like some type of Asperger's, because, you know, he's so quick-minded. I sat next to him on a plane back from Tenerife. Well, wasn't Tenerife. Where do we go? Lanzarote. So we used to do our pre-season training. Sat next to him. And he's got a crossword book. And he's sat there. And you know, like Rain Man, where the guy could think so quickly? He's literally looking at a question and filling the answer in. I have never seen anyone do that at that speed before. And I looked at him and I said, are you taking the piss out of me? You know what I mean? I said, there's no way. I thought, like, he knows all the answers to this. Either that, or he just knows words that, you know, they can fit into those gaps. And he was just working that. But he was smashing it.
Yeah, I spoke to JP years and years ago, and he's always had that plan to go a little bit higher than the coaching staff, and, you know, to go a couple of levels up. And at the moment, he's set off very fast. And, I mean, he's up there. What is he doing at the management?
He's the director of rugby.
I think he's holding business events, business meetings on, you know, championship winning teams and championship mentalities. Now he's got the England gig. So he's not doing bad for a guy who's just come, you know, 6 months out of retirement from playing. And it's good to see, because, you know, the guy's obviously he'll do well out of rugby league in his career, but now he's... The next step, which is probably the most important, which is after playing.
It's that life after rugby,
isn't it?
How do you leverage those years of getting your head knocked off for the rest of your career?
But he's smashing it, isn't it? Which is great to see. It's like he's a leading example for.
I think the advantage that he had over, and yourself, Leon, the advantages that you guys have over the likes of me and Robbo is your height.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't take as many head knocks as me and Robbo did because we're like lower.
I tackled my fingers as well, so I'm not getting my head anywhere near that tackle.
Like a piano player.
Yeah, piano.
But I'll be honest, I like the fact that we're now getting rugby league players, rugby league men involved in the backroom staff. You know, when I first came on the scene, there wasn't that many players in the backroom staff, or ex-players, should we say. It was
guys that know core modern, the core modern product.
Yeah, of course.
And what's been delivered on the field and the intricacies of that and the mindset of the players, and be able to, I guess, communicate from the administration point of view down to that playing
staff. And also somebody current as well. You know, somebody who's been in the game currently, who's only just come out, because they can relate to the players. You know, and I think Australia do a good job of that. They've got players, if it's not legends, it's, you know, current. So they've got Thurston's on TV, and you've got your Lockyer's, your John's, and all the players that they're either legends or the current, and the players like that, they like to see them kind of players.
Like us in this radio
show. Yeah, they don't want to see people that have had naught to do with the game, or, you know, coming and telling you what you should be doing. Who are you? Where have you been for the last 20 years?
You know, it's like strictly just journalists. Journalists that haven't picked up a ball once.
That's what I mean. They want to listen to somebody who's been
couldn't
there,
make it as a player, so decided to write about it.
That's what gets me mad. I used to go to my mum's and dad's.
I love
go to mum's and dad's for tea, and then mum would go, I had the best game of life. Mum would go, not played too well this week, have you? kid who just come out of university decided I got a four this week. I says, Mom, stop listening to her. Then next week I'd have a nightmare. I'd go, played really bad.
But the team wins.
No, Mom would just go, you got an eight in paper this week.
You did well, son.
That happens. I remember playing for Bradford, and the Telegraph and Argus ran points, you know, you get a rating 1 out of 10. And I remember having one of the worst games ever. But I got a hat trick. You know, literally someone passed the ball to me. So I put the ball down. I didn't do anything other than catch the ball and put the ball down. Missed tackles, off my game, dropped balls, knocked balls on, made poor decisions. Got a 9.
Yeah.
You know what? As an athlete, though, as a player, you take it. You I'll get away with it.
The thing is, you got to get to a point in your career, because I did with this, I struggled with it. You got to get to a point in your career, regardless, you know yourself. You know, you knew in your head, you didn't play well.
You can never lie to the man in the mirror, can you?
You
can't. He looks back at you. I was just talking about Wayne Bennett and on Jamie Peacock, as you've just brought him up, because that was one of his famous sayings, Wayne Bennett, you can never lie to that man in the mirror. Will he know who Jamie Peacock is?
Going back to this, Wayne Bennett came in, didn't he, and spoke about how he didn't really know all the players. He didn't know Paul Wellens.
Yeah. Speaking
to Chris Bailey, he thinks it's a bit of a mind trick, and it's a really famous Australian coach.
Oh, is it?
Gibson used to do it, he says. And he says what he used to
he would
sign the player and then walk in, and even though he'd signed him and you know, been pushing for him, and go, how are you doing, mate? You know, what's your name? What position do you play?
Yeah.
It was to put everyone on a level playing field. So nobody's above anybody else. So everyone's on a level playing field.
I quite like that.
He thinks that's what
he's
doing.
It's mind games, but it's about earning your stripes, isn't it?
Just don't do naught for me, that kind of stuff.
But, you know,
I'll be honest with you.
Oh, you're too long in the tooth.
Med would have been completely battered.
I just want to toss in there, though. I'm guessing Holkow will be on board, because Jamie Peacock's director of rugby over at Holkow. I think they'll be on board with the taking the 2 weeks out for training preseason.
What's that?
Kind of the pressure. You know, Wayne Bennett has asked for 2 weeks out of preseason.
Oh, yeah, right. Holkow will be on board because he's
they've
in charge.
They've got to be on board, wouldn't they? If he's a manager, we're all in this together, one and all in. And also, you know, these midweek and breaks and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, as we're talking about, JP's quite influential.
He's massively influential. So whatever Bennett's saying, I'm sure.
Why haven't we had JP on this show? We tried to get him on the show.
No, he charges now.
Oh, does he?
It charges. It charges, plus we've all got to kiss his hand one by one.
The Don. JP, the Don. If you're listening, JP, come on, get in touch. We'd love to have you on here, buddy. Okay, let's have a quick look at the upcoming game this weekend. Leon, All City Derby, Holkow versus Hull FC. I'm not even going to ask you. Robbo.
Where's it at? Hull FC.
Yeah, but last time we said that.
You're
a bit of a kiss of death.
You're going to smash Leeds. You're going to smash them.
I'm a jinx. I said Catalans and FC in the final. Ever since I've said that.
Probably get that one again.
Wheels have fell off.
Just quickly, Leeds at home to Wigan. Leeds hit some form quickly.
I'm going
to
go Leeds.
Big Frankie Poa, Nuasala, his first game.
Wigan just.
And Cass at home to Warrington. Could be Rangi Chase's first game back at Cass.
Castle.
Yeah,
Castle. Cooking. All right, well, that's it for tonight. We're flying through the show. Actually, no.
What?
Oh, no, we're still good. Okay, I wanted to just quickly, I want you to get your thoughts on the championship games. Batley hosts London. Now, there's a lot in this game. Batley and Halifax, both of them. Halifax hosts Featherstone. They win to stay in the top four.
Okay, I'm going to go.
London's sitting in second.
London. I'm going to
Featherstone have to beat Halifax to get into the top four.
Halifax are going to beat them, though.
Yeah, they are. Go on,
Halifax. Yeah, Robbo's town. Robbo's on town. I'm going to go Fax.
Well, but Robbo, you're the kiss of death. And if you're saying Fax,
Featherstone.
You've got to back Featherstone. And Batley
what
at
about
home?
Bradford? Where are we sitting at the moment? Where are Bradford sitting in the table?
Fifth. So we need one of those two teams to lose.
Okay.
All right. Big thanks to you all, wherever you're listening tonight. Total Access is next here. Remember, enjoy your lives, love your families, and live your rugby. I'm Robbie Hunter-Paul, and thanks again.